We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Not to the last second on the first one. The second one, I knew that he was there. I was trying to move the ball from my right to left to kind of get over where I thought the hand swat would be, and he was right on it. So just bad plays by me.
The guys on the inside. Green Bay football insider Michael Cohen on The Fan is brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Marola.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. We'll have a Green and Gold Tuesday tomorrow to really dive more into what happened in Detroit. Packers lose to the Lions. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. Michael Cohen joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. It was a good day statistically for Rodgers, but he did have those two strip sack fumbles. Michael joins us here on Chuck and Winkler. Good morning, Michael.
Hi, Mike.
Morning, fellas. How's it going?
Yeah, doing all right. Well, Brewers are doing good. Packers not so good, and that's what we're going to talk to you about. Aaron Rodgers, it seems that those were a very hollow 400 yards. He had the two fumbles and all that. Is it an injury thing? What do you think's going on there with him?
No, it's really hard to pinpoint. You know, the only thing that I can think of is that the lack of practice is legitimately having an effect on Rodgers, and certainly that's not from the mental side of things. He thinks about the game and sees the game and understands the game at such an advanced level that I don't think he needs to be out there in terms of feeling confident with the game plan and understanding what the Packers want to accomplish. But the bottom line is that ever since week one, he's been missing anywhere between 66 to, between 33 and 66% of practice time. And the analogy that I've been making on my podcast is, think about it like a musician. If you're getting ready for a tour and you tell that musician that they can't rehearse, well, it's kind of hard to expect that musician to be really, really good when you go see him in concert. And so I think Rodgers right now is in a situation where he's not able to build the type of chemistry that he needs to with certain guys on the team. 52% of his throws yesterday were intended for players that weren't on the team last season. So if you're practicing one-third or two-thirds less than you normally are, and you're throwing it to guys who weren't here last year more than 50% of the time, I think it's hard to expect that anybody would be as sharp as they would be if they were on the field all the time Monday through Friday. So I think that's a legitimate issue for Rodgers, and that's contributing to, you know, maybe some of the lack of sharpness with the missed throws and also just, you know, a general lack of chemistry with certain guys. But, you know, the strip sacks are inexcusable. You can't have those. I know people are saying, well, how can he prevent it? Well, he admitted that he didn't see the guy on the first one, which is an issue with awareness. And on the second one, he made the wrong choice by trying to shift the ball in his hand at the wrong time. So both of those should have been prevented. And it was just a poor start for Rodgers that heavily contributed to the 24-0 deficit.
I've got two Rodgers-related thoughts that I want to throw off you. One, I think, is based in actual observation, and one's based on a video game. So I'll throw them off you, and I want your thoughts on them. My first thought is with the Packers, I think that what we're seeing is over the last few years, maybe the Packers aren't like as good of a team as they end up being record-wise or playoff-wise, but for them to succeed, they need Rodgers to play excellent for the team to even look above average. And when Rodgers doesn't play excellent, when he plays even above average or even good, then the whole team suffers. So that's my thought with watching the Packers the last few seasons. The other is there seems to be this tendency with Rodgers, like when I play Madden, I get so tired and bored of just handing it off and throwing it and handing off and throwing it. I always just run around and like to go for the big play. I kind of feel like I see Rodgers do that too, where he'll see guys open, not take them, and just kind of go for that home run. So just wanted your thoughts on those two thoughts.
Well, I'll start with the second one. I've always kind of had this thought, and I think we've actually touched on it before on, you know, some of our radio interviews. I think that one of the things with Rodgers is people always wonder, well, when he's hurt, you know, and they go to this quick game where it's a bunch of dump off passes really fast, you know, get the ball out of your hands in half a second, it seems unstoppable. And people always wonder, well, why can't you do that for a full game? Now, there are some practical reasons why you can't. It's extremely difficult and also just, you know, not really logical in certain senses to be able to do that 100% of the time. But I've always thought, and this isn't really backed up by anything, it's just my, you know, observations of Rodgers and being around him and understanding sort of a little bit of how he thinks and what he likes to do. I've always thought that part of the reason they don't do it all the time is because it bores Rodgers. And I think he has so much arm talent and so much desire to use that talent and that ability in extraordinary ways that he doesn't like just dumping it off and getting it out of his hands in half a second, that he wants the challenge of making a throw and a play that nobody else can do. So I do think that that is a little bit of a factor. And again, Rodgers has never said that. It's just based on me being around and understanding what he likes to do, what he likes to accomplish, and how much belief and confidence he has in his own natural abilities. As for the first question, you know, I think that there is no doubt the bottom third of this roster remains extremely weak. And I think that while Gutekunst did take some steps to try and upgrade that a little bit, it's not really feasible to believe that he could turn everything around in just a season after a couple of bad draft classes stacked on top of each other toward the end of the Ted Thompson era. And plus, a number of young players that were either undrafted guys or guys that had just hung around that you know, weren't necessarily capable of contributing given their level of play. So I think Rodgers does have to play really, really well for this team to have a chance. And I think that when he doesn't, he's this is you know, a very, very fringe playoff contender at best.
Boy, that's interesting how you say that the bottom third of this roster is a little iffy. And yeah, that'd fall on Ted. Poor drafts are catching up with him, you're saying?
Well, I mean, the 15 draft, when you look at it, was a total bust. I mean, look at the players that were in that draft. Demaryius Randle, Quentin Rollins, your first two picks, aren't even here. You know, it was just bad. And then 16 was a little bit better. You know, they get Kenny Clark, they get Blake Martinez, two huge pieces there. And the 17 draft, I think they missed a lot early. You know, I think that, you know, Kevin King's injury history and what he's shown so far has been a problem. Josh Jones looks like he could be a total bust. And, you know, obviously, you know, there was other picks later in the draft, like Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams, that have proved to be very, very successful, or at least, you know, very serviceable. But, you know, again, another guy I forgot, Jason Spriggs, a trade up to draft Jason Spriggs. That looks like it was a complete mistake. So I just think there were some bad drafts. And then I think that, you know, there were some pieces toward the bottom of the roster that don't really make a lot of sense. And I think that Brian Gutekunst, again, took some steps to try and change that, but I don't think it was reasonable to expect that he could do it all in 1 year, and I also don't think that he took enough steps to try and change the bottom of the roster. So he was a departure from Ted to a degree, but not as much as was necessary to overhaul what is a very weak bottom third of this team.
Michael Cohen with The Athletic, and he does go more into the Rodgers sort of problems with his latest piece there. If you can grab that at The Athletic, look for Michael Cohen. A tweet you had earlier just today: Clay Matthews, Nick Perry, Reggie Gilbert, Kyler Fackrell, combining for zero sacks and zero QB hits against the Lions. This is a team that has looked maybe to try to add to the pass rush. They obviously win Kevin King over TJ Watt, we presume, and then they didn't have enough ammo or didn't give enough ammo to get Khalil Mack. Is there any way that the pass rush can improve without them adding more pieces? Because I don't know who you're going to add at this point.
Well, it's got to be done schematically. You know, there are teams around the league that don't have good pass rushers, and that's why a lot of those teams don't win games. But there are also teams that have mediocre pass rushers, or just a group of guys that are not star players, and they find ways to be successful because the coaches can scheme up certain blitzes. Now, the Lions obviously didn't have a dominant pass rush, but they would fall into that category this season. You know, without Ziggy Ansah, who's been hurt all season, you know, they've got a number of guys, none of which scare you when you turn on the tape. But Matt Patricia and his staff have done a decent job of scheming ways to create a high number of sacks, or they've found guys whose motors are extremely, extremely high and don't quit on plays and chase things down, as evidenced by, you know, what Romeo Okwara did yesterday to chase down Rodgers, literally a 30 or 40 yard sprint from the right side of the formation, the left side of the formation over David Bakhtiari, all the way across both hashes to the right sideline where he dragged down Aaron Rodgers for a forced fumble. I mean, those are the types of things that if you don't have a good pass rush, you need to have that type of effort and that type of drive to make up for it. Is there anything they can do to drastically improve the pass rush this season? No, I don't think so. I mean, it would take a blockbuster trade to go and get somebody, or, you know, they'd have to completely find a gem, you know, hidden in the rough that somebody cut, which is, you know, very unlikely because pass rushers are so hard to find in the first place. So I think what you're going to see is they've got to find ways to generate a pass rush from other areas. And that's what Mike Pettine did a little bit yesterday. They had three sacks. One came from Clinton Dix. Two of them came from Blake Martinez. You're going to have to find ways to get other people involved as pass rushers if your four main guys can't win. And it doesn't seem like those four guys can win consistently.
I think when you look back at this one and you look statistically, and I know they were down for a while, but even late, I mean, they're still running the ball with Ty and Jamal. Aaron Jones getting 7 carries on 40 yards. Was that a product of the game, do you think? Or do they really want to stay committed to giving these three guys equal time, even though to the untrained eye, there's a guy that's far and above talent-wise the other two in Aaron Jones?
No, this was definitely a product of the game. I mean, you look at Aaron Jones, 7 carries, 40 yards, all 7 of them came in the first half. He didn't carry the ball once in the second half, and they were down by a lot. So what does that tell you? Well, I was sitting next to Bill Huber in the press box, and he pointed out what I, you know, think is extremely accurate, and I'll share that now. And that is, if they were down 24-0, and they really, truly, in their hearts, 100%, unequivocally trusted Aaron Jones in pass protection, then he would have been on the field. And the fact that he wasn't out there indicates that no matter what they say about Aaron Jones, about how they're confident he's a three-down back, about how they believe they have three guys that can be out there 100% of the time, and it gives them all this flexibility, the bottom line is that it's not true. Otherwise, he would have been out there. And so they don't trust him in pass protection. And as I discussed on my podcast this morning, that creates a very tricky situation. If they're only down 3 or 7 or 10, you know, it's not a big deal. But if they are in games where they're down 14, 15, 20, whatever, it means that they can't play Aaron Jones. And that is a big, big problem, because they don't trust him in pass protection. Because for a guy like that, that is that talented and can make that many guys miss, it stands to reason that he too could be an effective part of the passing game, like Ty Montgomery has been. Get him the ball in space, dump it off to him, have him make guys miss, pick up tons of yardage. But if they really thought that that was a legitimate option, the only thing holding him back would be pass protection, and that either Rodgers doesn't trust him or the coaches don't trust him to pick up his assignments. So it's a very tricky situation now with Aaron Jones, because if they're losing games, they can't necessarily risk playing a guy they don't trust. And yesterday was a perfect example that when a push comes to shove, they do not trust him in pass protection.
Michael, appreciate it. Great stuff. And we will talk to you later in the week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.